Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Facebook crashing by 25%. PayPal crashing by 25%. Those are important days. It's an important day of news. So much is happening. And yet I'm going to also review some commentary on the iDubbbz documentary about Sam Hyde, a complete fail in my view. I mean, he tries to illustrate what Sam Hyde tried to pull as a prank against him, but he misses so much depth in doing so that I call it a fail, and I say iDubbbz has failed as an interviewer. I'll explain to you why, but it is so important what's happening in the news. We may be entering a recession. I don't give a shit. I'll keep my Bitcoin. I'll wait for the next economic boom. I'd rather see the whole system fall than benefit from for small term profit. So I don't care if I lose money, if my Bitcoin lose value. I'll be waiting. I can wait. I'm ready for a war of attrition. But the system isn't, and Facebook and PayPal are the first to pay in some major way. It's always been bizarre to me how this social platform that is so hostile to its own users, that is just spamming the boomer brain with ads and uncomfortable stuff. I mean, it's not a usable platform. Facebook is painful. And I've been leaving Facebook before a long time ago. I think I stopped updating my episodes there when the censorship was so big that basically every single day my show would violate the rules, so I just gave up. And people are starting to give up so much that these platforms have significantly lost a lot of users. PayPal also, you know, has allowed itself to censor dissidents, and even censoring like just the principle of white advocacy. That's absolutely ridiculous. The principle of white people having rights is a no-no at PayPal. And so now they're paying the price. 25%, both platforms. Meta right here. Big drop after hours of trading. And PayPal the same earlier today. So scrap the whole system. I don't give a shit. I'm ready for a war of attrition. I'm ready for surviving for years without much income. I have everything set. I have a greenhouse. Fuck these normies. Fuck this normie economy. I'm happy about what's happening. I'd rather see some suffering on the other side and undergo some suffering myself. I don't give a shit. John Drake says, but it's Meta now, JF, much more hip. I don't care. I want it to crash Meta, Facebook, all of it. Let them be punished forever and let Altec rise. I'm so tired. These people, we gave them content for years. We built them. We made the internet interesting alongside of them. And they dropped us because, the normies can't tolerate you on our platforms. Well, there you go. You fucked yourself. I'm happy that you suffer. And it's just the beginning. It's going to be so much worse. And at some point in time, I see a future in which people will not want to be a YouTuber. They will want to be an Odysseyer. Fuck them. This is not an argument, says JF. If Facebook collapses, will the US government bail them out? Too big to fail? I don't know that this is going to happen. You know, when the government bails, it's not a single company like this. I would be very surprised if that was to happen. What I expect, and when you see how the Biden administration has colluded with this whole whistleblower crap against Facebook, you'll realize that Facebook has no friends. Like, Facebook could have had me as a friend, but they started making all these rules that was making speech impossible. And then they started catering to the boomer, and then they banned the boomers with the MAGA stuff, and then the vaccine stuff. And then Democrats were unhappy about the amount of censorship because Mark Zuckerberg was saying, oh, you know, maybe we should stick to free speech. And so even the Democrats have gone after them. Facebook has no friends, and this is it. They are now crashing, and I don't think anyone will save them. It's going to go the way of MySpace. PayPal is getting a big hit too. Today they've announced, absolutely incompetently, they've announced that they had to get rid of 4.5 million accounts because they were accounts created by bots meant only to drain their $10 bonus at sign up. So PayPal had started giving away $10 for any new account. And of course, you had people start creating accounts, buying stuff from some commerce that they were affiliated with. And so it was a whole fraud. So the whole numbers were propped up. It was fake. They were banning real people while they were creating fake accounts. And they were getting drained of their bonuses with this. And so they were not making money. They were not expanding the platform. They were just happy to give away $10 to bots because it was making their reaching their goal in terms of number expansion possible. It was all fake, just like, by the way, Google AdSense has been fake for decades now. Like two decades. Two decades of Indian click farms where literally you have a bunch of Indian... One day I bought ads, okay, for a very old project of mine. I wasn't even an e-celeb. One day I dealt with the whole Google AdSense stuff. You know what I found out? 95% of the clicks that went through an ad on Google AdSense is IPs from India. This whole business is phoned. It's nothing. And I hope that they crash further to the point of being inexistent. Fuck the mainstream platform. I'm doing good today. How are you doing, guys, on the regular chat? Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to support the show. Will you watch the iDubbbz Sam Hyde documentary? A lot of people were telling me, I hope JF talks about it tonight. Well, we'll talk about it in detail. We will watch the whole interview, the interview part, and I'll explain to you why you don't do this as a documentarist. iDubbbz failed at getting into the game with Sam Hyde. When you're a documentarist, the first rule is your subject leads the show. And iDubbbz, instead of doing this, lost so much time that and lost the respect of Sam Hyde at some point in this interview, because instead of putting Sam Hyde first and center, he was putting himself front and center. And that was a failure of iDubbbz. That's why we get no insight into the mind of Sam Hyde. So many questions unanswered despite this attempt at making a documentary. Disclose.tv reveals the Ottawa City Council. We need to cut off the pipeline of funding to these mercenaries that are unlawfully protesting and occupying our communities. So that was in line with what the Twitter guy, the counselor, had requested to the council. He was asking that the funds be seized from GoFundMe to fund the reparations of Ottawa and the cost in police care, and also to make some touristic ads to restore the tourism toward Ottawa. They're still talking about it now officially. I hope it doesn't happen. Another major news in Canada. Erin O'Toole, leader of the Conservative Party, has been ousted as leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. 73 of 119 MPs voted to remove him. Absolutely poetic. This guy was an agent inserted into the Conservative Party of Canada to and he was saying that it was to gain votes in the metropolitan areas and in the new generations. But to do so, first, he didn't succeed at winning these votes, and secondly, what he did is he lost the support of his hardcore base, the truly right-wing people of Canada. So the Conservative Party was not appealing anymore to any serious right-winger. I mean, they were undistinguishable from the Liberal Party, so much so that they were pro-vaccine mandate. I mean, to a certain extent, they were even featured in ads promoting the vaccine. You don't understand your base. You don't deserve to be at the head of the Conservative Party. Fuck him, just like fuck Facebook and fuck YouTube. Mama JF coming in. How are you doing, Mama JF?
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. Big things happening on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
You like Sam Hyde? You've been... me and Mama JF have been watching the MDE, Million Dollar Extreme.
Oh, yeah, that was so funny. It was like your book. There was even a segment on the genetic clinic. Oh, my God, that was so funny.
Yeah, there was some gene editing at some point.
With the big girl...
There was a big girl. What she
like a trans, and yes. She was beating her husband.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, that was so funny. And it was, did you think it was a realistic thing like your book?
It's one concern that in a phenotypic revolution, homosexual reproduction might be a thing. So it is possible, definitely.
Oh, okay, that's why they were.
Yeah, because one of the first use of this technology might be to allow a male to reproduce with a male or a female to reproduce with a female.
Oh my God, that's true.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. All right. So join me on Entropy. It is the right place to send me your super chats. The link is right below the video. Or you can use the support button on Odyssey. Just be logged in on Odyssey. And the super chats are allowed in cash, and credit cards are accepted now, I know. Brian Stelter explains that president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, resigns effective immediately. He resigned for his explanation for this is that he's resigning because he had a relationship, a consensual relationship with an executive at CNN, and he didn't disclose this publicly or to the CNN headquarters, and that's a violation of the internal rules, so he's resigning. That's absolute nonsense. That makes zero sense. First, no one asked him to resign. Secondly, there may be reasons why you want to keep a relationship secret, especially at this level of the executive. Thirdly, no one would have applied this rule if he didn't apply it to himself, essentially, because he's the president. So that's bullshit. Now, Brian Stelter is explaining on CNN, this is because Chris Cuomo is burning the place down. That's his hypothesis, or at least a hypothesis. That he's mentioning that Chris Cuomo would be so pissed at the fact that he wouldn't have had enough money when leaving CNN, and now he wanted to bring all sorts of bad stories in court, including revealing that Jeff Zucker was going out with this woman inside the administration of CNN. Even this kind of the second layer hypothesis doesn't make much sense. If it's just that it was a consensual relationship, so is it possible that there's more things that Jeff Zucker is expecting that wasn't revealed yet? And he thinks that these things are putting the company at risk? That is much more plausible. The idea that there might be hidden stuff here, but the stated reason makes zero sense. So I will be waiting for juicy information coming out about CNN, Jeff Zucker, because on the current information, it makes no sense. Go Away says, JF, please watch Sam Hyde at Rutgers University. It captures the energy of the dissident right circa 2015 very well. I've watched it. I think I've reviewed it here on the show. At least I talked about it. Yes, it was a very fun performance, very impressive. Now, I want to show you the heart of the iDubbbz documentary, which came out today. By the way, if you want the link, I will be putting it right in the regular chat. It will also be featured in our links. Every day, every show, you can view the links that I'm illustrating on screen by looking at the description below, and you will find a link to both the MP3 version of the show and an HTML file containing all of my links. So essentially the story is that Sam Hyde has already published this documentary, because when iDubbbz indicated his desire to do a documentary about Sam Hyde, Sam Hyde decided to get his own camera and his own people to not only film the action, but also, and therefore document what they were doing on his own side, but also troll iDubbbz with various ironic sketches and ironic performances that were essentially presenting Sam Hyde as some kind of a regular boss in just a dirty office, having a whiteboard and saying, okay, we need to find the next big ID. Go, go, go. So he was playing a kind of self-help type of leader of a kind of sect, trying to lead these kids to memeing on the internet professionally. It was hilarious. And of course, because the iDubbbz documentary wasn't coming out, Sam Hyde assumed that perhaps iDubbbz was unsatisfied with the material and unsatisfied with having been trolled, and therefore Sam Hyde released this documentary himself more than a month ago. I covered it on this show. Firestarter says, is this just internet drama? No, it is not. It is the story of a failure. The failure of iDubbbz to be understanding that when you do a documentary, you don't lead. The subject leads. And so here's a segment where Sam Hyde had paid a girl to play his girlfriend, and he had told her, you're going to be like my doped girlfriend. You are consuming drugs, you are slurring your language, and you're trying to charm the documentarist iDubbbz as he comes to film his documentary. So that was a scene here.
Just stick a camera in her face immediately. That's my girlfriend that you're asking about.
Hi.
Please don't flirt with iDubbbz.
She apparently got paid by Sam Hyde to shave her hair in the front, so she really looks like a kind of prostitute crackhead.
Hi.
You're Danny?
Yeah. You look anemic.
Anemic?
Yeah, a little bit. We look alike, though.
It's
kind of weird.
Yeah, I think we do look alike.
Let me see the hat.
Yo,
Sam,
what Jerry's working on.
I thought you were bald.
You
no.
What?
Why is your head so fucking
big? I got a large cranium.
It's weird.
It's part of my genes.
Maybe you just have like a really large skull. I don't know. Have you like weighed your head?
I have not weighed my head, no.
So. Oh, well, I haven't like weighed my head without the fluid in it.
She's very well dressed for her role. She really looks like a crackhead, lots of tattoos. I'm sure that part of it is true. I mean, those are not fake tattoos, so probably she's really that tattooed, but actually she is not the girlfriend of Sam Hyde, and she is not on drug.
I'm like, wow, but yeah.
The environment was very uncomfortable as a whole. Talking with Sam, you know, he's very forward, and he's got a big personality. The rest of the guys there were very...
They're dipped in sherm. You want one, John?
I'm good. Thanks, though.
Weird. The whole environment was weird.
Oh.
But when it came to Danny, it was just sad.
Okay, so yeah.
If you just, like, stop smoking...
So she just popped a bottle of, like, medical pills, so... It suggested that she could be addicted to some kind of anxiety pill or something like this.
Your blood pressure goes like all the way down. Can't you like give to her? You know, like blood just stopped flowing from your eye.
I really didn't know how to feel. I would say that the rest of the guys made me medium level uncomfortable. Danny made me extremely uncomfortable.
I have more. You want to see my tattoos? I feel like a dog sitting on the floor.
At that point, I feel irresponsible just like talking to her. It felt...
So he felt irresponsible just talking to her. And eventually he's going to get to the interview with Sam Hyde. And he's going to be there realizing that she was an actor, that she was not Sam Hyde's girlfriend. And this is where I think there's a big failure, okay? This is where the documentary could have been so great. Because, hey, isn't it amazing? You got caught by Sam Hyde. He's been displaying a fake girlfriend to you. He made a story. He made a whole fiction. You could have gone precisely into this in your questioning of Sam Hyde, but he didn't. Instead, he made the whole interview about himself.
I can't flip the question. I just flipped the question on you.
No, that's not how this works. This, I'm interviewing you.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
This is the craziest interview I've ever conducted.
Yeah, this is not going to be like an ordinary interview.
All right, go ahead.
Do you remember our first interview?
First ever. You don't say it's not going to be an ordinary interview because you're just trying to induce stress in your subject. The subject is the king. So when you do an interview, it's always, yes, it's going to be the best interview. And no matter what level of irony you want to be in, I'm here to capture it. But no, instead he's like, this is going to be special. Well, there's nothing special in this interview. There's just a guy who doesn't know what to ask.
Interaction?
No.
You don't?
No. I have very bad memory, though.
Yeah.
Was it bad?
What do you think?
Did I snub you or slight you or something?
What,
what did I do?
Your memory's that bad?
Yes.
So don't assume that Sam Hyde will know about the copyright strike he did against you years ago. And don't make the interview about yourself. Second error of this interview is so centered around iDubbbz. We don't give a shit whether Sam Hyde has copyright striked you 7 years ago. No one gives a shit. You have Sam Hyde in front of you. You have to jump right to the subject matter, which is, hey, Sam Hyde, like, so you have a sketch where you drive into a house and you just drive a car over a woman who's been annoying to men because she keeps saying to men that they're not the right one. And what's funny about driving a car through the whole house and just rolling over the girl? That's the kind of question you want to get into. And then you get into the method of Sam Hyde and what's the structure of a joke? And what's funny about your joke? What's so different about your jokes with respect to the rest of the world? Because there's something special here. There's a different way, a different method. But no, this should be asked within the first few questions. But instead, iDubbbz is like, you don't remember me? You copyright striked me 7 years ago.
You know,
never make yourself the center of the interview. A documentary is about the subject. The subject is Sam Hyde.
Remember?
I do not remember.
Okay. Do you remember?
What was it?
You remember making a pony game?
Yes.
There were some creators at the time who made videos about this fake pony project.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you one of them?
I was one of them.
What did I do?
This is not the moment he thinks it is. There's nothing fascinating about this. Yeah, I was the guy. I made something about your pony project.
Do you have any guesses?
Did I say fuck you or something?
No, you copyright claimed the video.
Really?
Yes. And then you sent me an email.
I mean, I don't do most copyright claims. What was the email?
The email was, I will release the copyright claim on your video if you can send me a video of yourself squatting 200 pounds below parallel.
Why didn't you do that? You'd be so much stronger now if you'd done that.
Yeah.
Damn. Did I create an...
And he's staying there. You know, there could have been something interesting to grasp here. Why do you want your followers and me to do squatting? Why do you think exercise? And then you can get into the subject of health and whether physical health is part of his everyday concerns.
An enemy with that?
I mean, for a period.
Damn, I'm
I sorry, didn't
buddy.
Like you.
I'm sorry.
You were an asshole.
I'm sorry, buddy. That's no good.
Yeah, why'd you do that to me?
I don't know. I can't even remember what your video was. So maybe I was pissed off or something. I don't know. I was trying to not have that ruse get blown though.
Right.
So maybe that.
And so Sam Hyde was on a fake project, and he was pissed apparently that his ruse was getting exposed, that it was a fake project, and so that's why he would have done the copyright strike. This guy is so awkward. Like, you can be autistic and be a good interviewer. I'm an example of this. You can be absolutely, you don't need empathy, you just need a care for the product. This is what iDubbbz fails here at having, a care for your product, your documentary. And there he is smiling bizarrely. You're not bringing anything of import. You know, it could be the last time you speak to Sam Hyde, and as it turns out, it will be. It's the last time you got Sam Hyde one-on-one. So your documentary will be crap if you don't capture something. So you go on to his field. You talk about what concerns him. You talk about his passion for comedy and how he structures these sketches.
That had something to do with it.
That probably did.
I'm sorry. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's what led to this day today.
Really? Okay, so are you going to punk me?
You're getting punked.
Really? How are you going to punk me?
I'm going to make you look like an asshole.
Really?
Which isn't hard.
So this is irony, but it's not intelligent to do that kind of irony at the beginning. Because here you have Sam Hyde who has decided to give a part of his life. He has decided to give his time. And you can catch anything from him. You don't want to put him in a nervous state or in a state of... It's not even nervous, because someone like Sam Hyde will not be nervous about this kind of stuff. But it's about what kind of angle are you coming at it? You have to display as a documentary maker, you have to display that you're on the path of giving a chance to Sam Hyde to make history. This could be the best Sam Hyde interview ever. If he's in that mood, he's going to give you something good. Now you're putting him in that mood of, hey, this guy is not a good interviewer. We've been on for 4 minutes and he has only talked about himself. That's not a good mood to be on, starting an interview.
Hard to do.
Is that really the case?
No.
Okay.
Part of me feels like you might be being disingenuous by saying you don't remember.
I legit don't remember, 100% serious.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is so narcissistic as a questioning approach. It's like, I can't believe you don't remember. Well, maybe you're not as important as you think you are, iDubbbz. Maybe someone who has other things to do wouldn't remember that he's copyright strike to you.
Yeah.
Is it because you're, you know, doing so much that you just sort of forget all the bridges you burn and all the, like, people you fuck with?
And here, the implication that this was a bridge burned, but you're there. So there's no bridge burned. There's no bridge that was burned. So you're being confusing to the guest by not maintaining consistency as a host. Because if really a bridge had been burned, then you wouldn't be there wanting to make a documentary about Sam Hyde. So it doesn't make sense, and you will fuck up Sam Hyde's mind. And that's why Sam Hyde at this moment of the interview and later loses respect for iDubbbz, and eventually, instead of playing the game that he wanted to play, will just decide to reveal everything. And then the whole ruse, the whole comedy sketch that he wanted to pull becomes uninteresting to him, because he just realized he's in front of a noob interviewer who doesn't know what he's doing.
Did I burn a bridge with that?
I could have been, but I'm a resilient person, so I turned that hate into a passion for filmmaking.
That is way too narcissistic, way too self-centered. No one gives a shit if you're the documentary maker about your passion for filming and how you overcome the obsession that you had over that copyright strike.
Which okay. is why I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you like still angry with me?
No, definitely not.
Okay. Do yeah. you dislike me still?
No, I think there's some things about you that I
still talking about his feelings. We are 5 minutes into this interview. We're still talking about iDub's feelings. I feel that.
You just want to understand better?
Yeah.
Mostly to do with your comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a list of questions that I can get into.
Sure.
All right. So before we get...
Now, look at the ridiculous face. Look at this fucking idiot. You're in front of this and you've decided to dedicate hours of your life. And in fact, in the case of Sam Hyde, he's decided to dedicate probably thousands of dollars just to rent the fake office, to pay the actors, to pay for all the material. And look at what you got. A guy who's like, okay, I have a list of questions here. And he's looking at his fucking cell phone. Like the most incompetent interviewer I've seen in my life. Unbelievable. This is so basic. You don't read a list of questions. You certainly don't want to look unfocused to your cell phone like this. Like you totally lost contact with Sam Hyde. This is supposed all to flow. This is supposed to flow like a conversation where within 10 seconds, within a single question, you could have got something better from Sam Hyde.
Into the shit.
Like someone says, you tripped my wife. Fractal Man says, you tripped my wife. Yeah, you bring back a reference to one of the guy's old sketches. And you're like, what is that about? Why do people laugh? Something like this. You talk about his art. You don't talk about, I have a list of questions. I feel that. I have been copyright struck by you.
Let's get a synopsis.
And then he just said, so we're going to get a synopsis done before we get to the shit. And now Sam Hyde is like, what's the shit?
Shit.
I'll get into it.
No, because this is ominous.
Is it making you nervous?
Yeah, no, I want to know what the shit, because this is very...
It's not so much about the nervousness. It's that Sam Hyde just understood that he was faced with an amateur.
Strange. It feels like you're trying to punk me or something.
I'm not punking you. It's just questions that that me and a lot of other people that I've talked to have about you. Like, what makes you sort of a...
Is that what the shit is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Let's start off with what content are you most proud of that you've created?
I don't like the order.
This is absolutely ridiculous. It's like a question written by an elementary school student. You're not getting into the realm of Sam Hyde. You could have asked this question to 10 million different e-celebs, 10 million different celebrities. You could have asked this to an NBA player. You need to establish a contact with the guest that is unique to the guest. Something that drags his emotion already. Something that evokes something in his past. A joke that he's written before, something like that.
Where this is going, because you're...
And just to be clear, just so it's not like... to relieve the any sort of pressure you might
don't
be feeling.
Don't relieve the pressure.
No?
Keep it on.
Okay.
See, Sam Hyde is a professional. What he's worried about is that what you're approaching me with this basic question. You don't know what you're doing. I'm giving you my time. It could be spectacular and it's not. And there he is. Oh, I want to reassure you that I'm not here to write a hit piece about you. The thing is, you made this implication with your ridiculous irony at the beginning, iDubbbz. And it was worthless. And now... You're trying to backpedal and say, oh, yeah, I want to reassure you. You won't reassure someone that you're not doing a hit piece because everyone knows in the business, Sam Hyde included, that you don't have control. And if someone tells you it's not going to be a hit piece, there's 50% chance he's saying the truth, 50% chance that he's saying a lie. You just don't have control over this. So when you enter an interview, you accept that it could be a hit piece. And there's nothing that you can tell Sam Hyde that will change that. That remains an uncertain outcome, a probabilistic thing. And it's not what Sam Hyde is worried about at this point. It's that he's faced with a fucking idiot.
Hey, okay.
Let's save it. Let's keep it in there.
And now he's saying, keep the pressure. Like he's like, don't worry, I won't put pressure. No, no. When you are a talent of the level of Sam Hyde, you want this to be the best interview ever. So you want the full pressure. You don't want your interviewer to backpedal on fears.
Yeah, the video is not meant to be a hit piece. I didn't set out to do that.
And unbelievably, this guy is so narcissistic that he cuts his own interview of Sam Hyde with his own thoughts from filming separately, saying, oh yeah, by the way, I don't want to write a hit piece about Sam Hyde. Bro, let's get to the point. This is not a documentary about you.
I was like, no one's made like a documentary, at least a good documentary about MDE or Sam Hyde. So like, this is a great opportunity. So of course, I'm going to rack my autistic brain to figure out, okay, what things do Sam and I have in common? Well, we interacted however many years ago. Maybe that's something I could bring up in the interview.
That's a ridiculous thing to bring. It's passive aggressive feminine behavior of you to bring this. Some random bloke sends a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Michelle Malkin just got banned from Airbnb for speaking at American Renaissance Conference. Can you interview her on your show? She's been great. She's been in contact with me. But it was back in the days when I had a Twitter account. She has DM'd me, and it would be great to contact with her. I may try to establish a contact with her on Gab. I don't know if I would have her on my show. I think she has a show. I think I could go on her show and talk maybe about the revolutionary phenotype and genetic editing. But yeah, it would be interesting for me to restore my contact with her, given that I've lost her from my DMs on Twitter. Steven Robinson says, JF, the next economic boom will be Richard Hart. Gab is my favorite social media platform as a consumer of content. It has so many options with a great layout. Andrew Torba says, fuck GoFundMe, and he is promoting Give, Send, Go. Yes, I can't wait for Andrew Torba to be delivering on his promises of a parallel financial system, because that's what matters ultimately. Can he do a kind of equivalent of PayPal? He seems to be working on an equivalent of eBay, essentially, on Gab, some place where merchants could just put things up for sale, maybe even some small sellers who want to do garage sale on the internet, that kind of stuff. I hope that he succeeds at delivering on this, because the whole stream of money, that's an important thing. Now, it seems that he's very American-centric in his developments, because, for example, his Gab Pay system apparently only works from US-based bank accounts. I would hope to see some kind of credit option, but I know also that it's hard because credit card companies are very much into censorship too. Let's continue watching this train wreck.
Figured out it's not nervousness about being.
See, Sam Hyde says it here. It's not nervousness. It's not that you're intimidating him with saying this will be a hit piece, because it will be a hit piece or it won't be, and that's out of his control. And to a certain extent, that's out of your control, because you don't know at that moment whether it will end up in an hit piece. Sam Hyde is worried that he's losing his time because he had invested enormous efforts to make this a hilarious experience, a questioning of his own connection with reality. And he wants to make sure that you, as a documentary maker, can understand this profoundly enough so that when you go back home, you can edit a good documentary about epistemology, about The question of what is a joke, what is not a joke, what is a fact, what is not a fact. And the whole approach of Sam Hyde disconnected from structure, this kind of comedic anarchism. But you capture none of it. And this is why he's worried. He's not worried because, oh, it's going to be a hit piece. Sam Hyde has had plenty of hit pieces made about him. He doesn't give a shit, or else he would have stopped this kind of humor.
Punked. It's, I wish you had been upfront about that. Because I honestly don't like when I have like static with people. I wish you just told me, like, just hit me up at the beginning and been like, hey, we have this, there's this thing.
It's no,
like,
but I thought it would be really good here.
Okay.
It's very bad here because the documentary is not about you.
For, to be a reveal.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't have anything else to connect.
I just hope that you're not.
I mean, the guy doesn't even have aligned eyes. I mean, iDubbbz is like unable to look straight. He's looking diagonal at all times. I thought it would be great. Here! It's like, imagine some of the greatest interviews of all time. I don't know, some super interviewer interviews some super celebrity. And at the beginning of the interview, he spends 10 minutes, instead of talking about the celebrity, he spends talking about himself. That wouldn't make sense, right? It's what you're doing.
Actually, like, if you actually were upset about that, I would want to, like, heal that.
Right, right. No, not at all.
All right.
I'm so, yeah.
Fair enough. You should have just told me, oh, man, I'm sorry. There's water here.
No, it's all good, man. It's,
I don't like having static with people that I actually like.
I don't think Sam realizes how much I don't care about our first interaction. It was...
Well, you've brought it for 10 minutes now.
It's like a little bit annoying for me at the time because I've never dealt with like a copyright claim. It was my first experience interacting with Sam. It's an interesting thing to bring up, but it wasn't meant to be like a surprise. You're pranked. It's more like, hey, here's an interesting bit of info that you didn't know about.
A lot of your comedy is like shocking, but I think the areas I struggle with, and I think a lot of people who want to enjoy your content kind of struggle with, is they don't feel like they have permission to laugh at certain things.
Psychologizing the audience, ridiculous question. Sam Hyde has a tradition of a type of humor that precisely does not care about the audience, or actually tries to provoke the audience into an uncomfortable position. You're asking to this guy to psychologize the audience that he's trying to violate their taboos? It's absolutely ridiculous. You're saying, well, not everyone will like your humor, Sam Hyde. Oh, tell him something he doesn't know. He's trying to do this, you idiot.
Because you haven't given them like enough context at the beginning to indicate like...
Oh. Are you fucking kidding me? You want Sam Hyde to introduce context warnings? Like, please understand that when I will say these words, I don't exactly mean it. This guy doesn't understand humor. He doesn't understand the level of comedy of Sam Hyde. He doesn't understand anything.
Oh, this is all just like a gag that I'm doing or something like that.
Is it valid for me to just not care about that? Like, do I have to be like scrutinizing my words and be like, oh, maybe I could get more views if I really explained what I meant when I said cum dumpster? Like, can I not give a fuck about that at all?
I mean, obviously you can.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know this going into the interview, you don't know your subject. You're not prepared. That's a failure of preparation here. You have to understand that Sam Hyde, if he gave a shit, he wouldn't engage in that kind of humor. If he was delivering humor from the perspective of the audience to keep the audience in a pleasant state, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing.
I'm not trying to be flippant or like dismissive of your question. It's just, no, it's not something I think about.
Okay.
So here's another point where Sam Hyde loses respect for the interviewer. He realizes this guy is not putting me in a situation where I can bounce back because he's asking me questions that are so stupid that I have to just say I don't care. This is precisely the part of his comedic performance that he doesn't care about, the audience discomfort.
Okay. No, that's fair. I mean, that's, yeah, I don't want you to drum up a thing if you legitimately haven't thought of it. Yeah,
is this something that you think you should think about?
No. It's not.
Even the follow-up question by the cameraman, it's like, no, I really don't give a shit.
I'm curious about your relationship with Danny. Has she been on drugs since she met you?
She's been on drugs since before she met me. So if you're implying that I've driven her to drug use, you are incorrect.
Okay.
See, that's the kind of bouncing that Sam Hyde was willing to do. He's playing here because she's an actress and she's not on drugs. But he's playing like, you are mistaken. He's playing serious. That's exactly the kind of opportunity this guy could have created in a good interview.
Fair enough. I mean, that's what I wanted to sort of get out of the way.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad we got that out of the way.
See, Sam Hyde, when he uses a serious tone like this, like, good, I'm very relieved. That is certainly a joke. So you are inside a joke here.
Have you tried to get her any help?
No, seeing as she's a girl, I paid $500 to shave her head and pretend to be my girlfriend. No, I haven't tried to get her any help. Should you want me to try?
Well, okay.
I don't know her that well. It's probably not my business to get her off drugs. Also, I think I told her to put her hand in your pocket and pretend to be on drugs.
Shut up.
You think are you serious? You think I would date a girl that has her hair shaved like that?
Yes.
You think I'm a fucking mental case?
Yes.
No, actually, well, I've known her for a long time. And
This is so upsetting to me right now.
We don't care about your feeling. Concentrate on your subject. So that is the part that wasn't present in the Sam Hyde video. So Sam Hyde just straight out reveals that it was all a play. But this guy is still on himself. He's like, oh, I'm so upset about this. No, you just caught something on camera. You caught the art. And you need to concentrate on this. You need to be like, why did you do this? Why would you do this? No one does this. Why do you do it, Sam? But no, he's unable to follow up.
I'm a fucking millionaire. You think I have a shit-ass office like this?
I'm a fucking millionaire. You think I have a shit-ass office like this?
Shut up. This is your office.
Says who? You think I would fucking spill rock stars and Legos all over my office like a fucking animal and have 20 people in a fucking dentist's office? You know this is a converted dentist's office, right? That's why there's like paintings of like whales on the walls and shit.
Ian! You silly guy!
So you're punking me.
I'm not punking you. I'm trying to make I thought...
See, even there he fails at understanding what's happening. It's not about you, iDubbbz. It's not about punking you. Sam Hyde is an artist. He created a live performance art for you to capture on camera, and you didn't. And even as he explains it to you, you're too stupid to understand it. This is not trying to trap you into something. It's trying to reveal the true nature of Sam Hyde, which you are so oblivious that you're unable to capture it when it's delivered to you on a silver platter. And Sam Hyde will explain that to him.
It'd be funny for your fans. I thought they'd like it.
It's like, I just thought it would be funny for your fans.
The whole thing.
I would never do anything.
Whole thing's a ruse.
The whole thing is a ruse. See, it's not a ruse. He's getting you inside his play style. And you're refusing to play.
Actually hurt you or upset you.
And he's explaining, I wouldn't do anything to... I'm not trying to deceive you. See, from the perspective of Sam Hyde, he's giving something to iDubbbz. He's giving a little bit of himself. And Sam Hyde is refusing it.
Make you look foolish. I would not do that.
So, how do you know Danny?
Art school connection. I think she's a friend of a girl I fucked in art school.
Yeah. And she doesn't do drugs.
No, she does hair and nails.
Danny,
I don't know if she actually
Danny's does. Not on drugs.
No. She's a good actress, right?
Oh, are you kidding me?
No.
It's funny how this is the kind of thing you need to remark on live when you're in that interview. He says, "Are you kidding me?" And Sam Hyde took a moment to answer, "No." That's exactly what could have been the theme of this documentary. Like, Sam Hyde is so much into the irony world. And there's a segment where iDubbbz talks about irony and meta-irony and how they relate to each other. But at this point, you have to notice that Sam Hyde, to the question, "Are you kidding me?" had to take a moment to think about it. No. When you are so much into irony that you have to take a moment before you can reorient yourself into the truth and answer a question for real, it takes a second.
What the fuck?
Also, the slingshots are rental.
We did get...
So the slingshot was a little car, you know, these three-wheel cars that they drove before, and he was saying that he had bought it to look like a rich guy who does crazy stuff and crazy decisions, but it was really a rental. Look, this is the end of the interview. iDubbbz is so disappointing because then he spends the rest of the documentary explaining that he tried to have another one-on-one with Sam Hyde, and Sam Hyde has always been escaping his request, and therefore he couldn't complete the interview. But you had your chance. It was right there. You don't miss your chance with a guest. Always interview a guest like it was your last interview with him. Never think he's going to come back. And at this point, you had lost so much respect from Sam Hyde that he wasn't interested anymore. His little game was over. He had to admit it to you because you were too stupid to see through and see what you could have pulled from this as a filmmaker. You are a total failure, iDubbbz. On top of it, I don't even know that this video will survive on YouTube. There are so much words in there. R word, B word, basically everything. There's even racial hate. I mean, the chances that this survives on YouTube are extremely low. And I don't know why iDubbbz published it in that form. I find this ridiculous. There was such a poetic story here to make about a man who is totally lost within his own circle of irony, that he doesn't have any connection with reality, and that even a documentary attempt about him, he has turned it into a fiction. That is what he had to do, and he failed. That is all for my review of this interview. There's lots of news to review also on the side. I don't know what you guys think. Type 1, if you're satisfied with the iDubbbz performance, or type 2, if he could have done better. Today, the Ottawa blockade has been continuing. Viva Frey has been giving very good coverage of the thing. Sorry. The blockade is effective. It's working. There are a lot of streets that are shut down, and the truckers seem to have a strong will to continue. I'm hearing that we have an emergency message, emergency communication from... Okay, we have an emergency communication from the leader of the Canadian neo-Nazis. Let us hear him. A very important message.
We're heading to Belleville. We're in the convoy on the way to Ottawa. And when we were in Port Hope, it was hundreds and hundreds of people heading to Ottawa, but there was a lot of people that couldn't make it, so they brought food and all kinds of items for the truckers and whatnot, and we're asking people to take it up there. So we took a few bags. I just got overwhelmed. We opened up one of the bags to see what they had in them, and I got punched in the heart. Whoever these people are, they had their kids do up a bag with a cookie in it for the truckers, and they attached a note with it, put their artwork on there. Sorry, I'm getting emotional again. I'm going to show you what it was. And this is why we're doing what we're doing.
White tears. What you are saying, I know it can be a little bit moving. What you are looking at is the sociological phenomenon of white tears. Do not be moved.
Some little kid made this. Reach for the stars, we believe in you. And it was a picture of a truck. Inside of it, they left a note. The note says, "Dear Mr. or Mrs. Trucker, it's really awesome that you're standing up for human rights. I'm only 11, so I don't know much about it, but I believe what's happening."
Oh, the video is refreshing. Wow. Is Gab video as bad as Twitter video? Let's try to refresh.
We're heading to Belleville. We're in the only 11, so I don't know much about it, but I believe what's happening is wrong. And I know you can do it. Sincerely, Kate. And she's got a cookie in a baggie for a trucker. This is absolutely amazing, and this is
and they want to their big plan is to get some guy to fly a neo-Nazi flag and take a picture of him very quick so that, oh my god, the neo-Nazis are in Canada. Their plan is to have these guys pass for racist haters. It's not gonna work. These guys are crying when they see a cookie, a freaking cookie. Meanwhile, we had meltdowns yesterday night. Some people are cracking up because they can't handle the honk. Let's have a look at this citizen of Ottawa who's had enough of hearing honks all night since the last 5 days. Oh, he hasn't slept for 5 days. And as the guys are telling him, let's just return to liberty. When freedom comes back, you'll be able to sleep.
It has to fucking stop. The honking will continue until freedom improves.
Look at his face. The honking will continue until freedom improves. And we have the CBC stating, Ottawa police might need military aid to end downtown occupation, chief says. Police aware of significant funding and participation in protest from the U.S. Okay, what does that mean? Who cares? Essentially, they will need the army to get people out. Natcraft says, Jeff, did you see the claim about the Nazi photo op being taken on Chateau Laurier, a location with security, no protest and no trucks, most definitely? I didn't see exactly the location claim, but I did see that it was revealed that the guy who took that picture is a known journalist who's the personal journalist of Justin Trudeau. He's been before in the office of Justin Trudeau taking special pictures of him. So it's like, you're going to tell me that this guy was exactly at the right place to capture in its natural expression a trucker just pulling out a Nazi flag. It's so wrong. It's so unbelievable to begin with. I'm sure there will be more revealed, but I didn't know that there was a claim about the special location of the photo. But do send me a link. If you are on Discord, send me a link on Discord. Special pictures. No, I don't mean sexually. I don't mean sexual pictures. I mean special pictures in the sense that he was not a journalist in a crowd. He was an invited journalist taking one-on-one picture with Justin Trudeau, you know. Lockdowns imposed enormous economic and social cost had little to no public health effect. New Johns Hopkins study finds, and people were sending me this. I believe it's the study that's being covered at Zero Edge. I read this study. It's a new study that does a meta-analysis of all the studies that qualify to have quantified whether a stricter lockdown was saving lives. And they find if stricter lockdowns are saving any lives, it's somewhere around the range of 0 to 3% maximum reduction in the number of deaths. And it is very often based on restricted time windows. So it's like, okay, you make a study saying you will reduce by 3% the deaths here, but are these people going to die the next month? In any case, the number is so small, 3%, that they say we can essentially consider that lockdowns and all sorts of forced tactics like masks and any sort of imposition by the government, essentially overall, taking all into account, taking the entire planet and comparing all the countries in between and the various degrees of severity of their orders, has led to nothing. We knew as much, we suspected as much. I mean, we've been manually comparing countries and states. I mean, by now we would know if there is a massive effect of these measures, but it's good to have a meta-study like this that establishes it for good. Schools across America implement BLM Week of Action that calls for disruption of Western nuclear family. Week of Action curriculum centers itself around 13 Black Lives Matter guiding principles. So an attack on the nuclear family disguised as anti-racism. Fuck this crap. I don't give a shit. YouTube's new censorship tactic is to limit streams that are too popular. YouTube is capping the number of live viewers for some creators. So they now have a cap on the number of live viewers for a new creator. This video is popular. Due to limited creator history, we're limiting the number of viewers. Subscribe to this channel to help this creator reach a broader audience. So they're essentially punishing memetics, punishing early success. And so they don't want any movement. They want their viewers to be stuck with their main creators that they like and that are YouTube approved, and they don't want them through memetics and 4chan and discussions on the internet to be guided toward important events. This means also that independent journalists who just start covering city stuff like the Ottawa thing, you know how certain creators have risen suddenly and they become extremely popular because they happen to live in Ottawa and they're exactly at the right place to film these things. They're all going to end up with restricted viewership because they haven't established a long enough history. So it's becoming impossible to grow on YouTube. I'm so happy to be out. We are so doing so good here on Odyssey. I can't believe that I've delayed this that much. Lauren Winsk publishes this message from this individual. Who's all sorts of LGBT. I think this individual declares themselves to be trans, gay, and then not gay, but trans. It's so confusing. And this individual talks about describing their sexual preferences to their parent. And it makes me think, it reminds me that a lot of these behavior, these non-reproductive behaviors, are very much, they are very much revenge a kind of revenge psychology against the parents. Listen to what this person says.
So I recently told my parents that I may be a little bit romantically interested in women. And that was a big shock for them, considering the past 10 years of coming out as gay, then queer, then non-binary, then trans.
Can you imagine being a parent and have this person come to you, coming out 4 different times? I have to tell you something, Dad. I am gay. And then he comes back 1 year later. I have to tell you something. I am queer. And then I am trans. And now he's like, oh yeah, I'm dating a woman now.
Trans. And I think it was just a bit of a shock. So I tell my dad.
You like to shock your parents? That's all this is. You are harassing your parents with stuff that only concerns you, really. And what you take pleasure in is announcing to your parents that their genetic line will stop with you. That's why you've been doing it 4 times. You enjoy their shock.
Dad, and he goes, well, I would love to see you get a woman pregnant. And I said, oh, no, she would be getting me pregnant.
You have got to be kidding me. He wants to be pregnant with a woman. Critical German Oil Network hit with cyber attack amid rising US-Russian tensions. The energy crisis surrounding Europe worsened as Germany's fuel supply network was hit with a cyber attack. There are so many hits on the American economy and on the European economy and on the fertilizing industry. I think that there is a big supply chain shock coming. So first, we've learned that Russia has been since November, they have been restricting their export of fertilizer, and they are giving a 2-month complete pause on export of fertilizers now. This is important because in certain countries of Europe, more than 50% of the fertilizer source comes from Russia. So this will have enormous impacts on the market. If the fertilizers are short, this means that the harvest will be short this year for the summer. And then this means that the animals will not be fed this year and next year. So I predict a huge supply shock in terms of a drop of supply available in the farming industry and the animal meat industry for the last 1-2 years, for the next 1 or 2 years. I had already, before all these news, I had already been buying stacks of fertilizer for years because I knew that fertilizer plants were, some of them had crumbled due to some hurricane. Now, we had a fertilizer plant since 2 days ago and up to today catching fire, and they are afraid that it will explode in North Carolina. The fire is still going on. The firefighters are not fighting it because it's too dangerous. There was an evacuation in a radius of 1.6 miles, I believe, around the plant because it's massively explosive stuff and it's all burning uncontrollably right now. I think that there will be enormous effects on oil, fertilizer, farming, and ultimately the whole supply chain. Add this to the PayPal dropping by 25%, Facebook dropping by 25% today, we are headed toward a massive something. Could be a depression, could be a just disruption of the supply chain such that things become unavailable. And add to this the discontent of truckers and the whole industries, including healthcare. It's not looking good for this world, and I love it. What else do we have? Oh, yeah, Whoopi Goldberg has been banned from the view for suspended from the view for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, Whoopi Goldberg will not be sharing her her voice. A black woman voice has been silenced. For saying what? For talking about the Holocaust. Look, this is what happened. Essentially, this meme sums it up. Everyone's a racist except for Hitler. This is basically what it means, what she says, but here's how she comes at it. So why are people testing the regular chat? We see you. We see you, Colonel J. We see you, everyone who's testing. Stop annoying everyone with test. Do I exist? Yes, you exist. We see you. Etoile is on entropy. She says, JF, how many consecutive days of losses for the regime will it take for you to be even a little bit white-pilled? CNN is in shambles. Yeah, today I'm very encouraged at seeing the whole empire crumble. So Whoopi Goldberg said on the show, The View, the Holocaust isn't about race. And she then made a fallacious jump and said, it's not about race. The Holocaust was about humans doing what they do to other humans. Now that's a little bit bizarre. As a false, that the fallacy that she did is called a false dichotomy. If humans do things to other humans, sometimes in the process, this will involve race. So it's not because something is about race that it's not also about what humans do to other humans. But she clarified what she meant by this when she did her first apology on the Jimmy Fallon show. Was it the Jimmy Fallon show? I think so. Where she said, look, I've never understood the Holocaust as a racial thing because it was white people against white people. And this touches, you end up realizing that Whoopi Goldberg, whose name is Goldberg, by the way, it's an invented name. She has used that name, but it's not her true name. So she chose a Jewish name and made a success for herself in Hollywood. It's very interesting in the context where I saw one of her movies, one of her first big movies, which was The Color Purple. I don't know if it was her first big movie, but in any case, it was a major movie of hers. And it's interesting because it shows the history of Whoopi Goldberg, who has endorsed a Jewish name in her career, who has succeeded in a Jewish world, which is Hollywood, who has been pushing a narrative through The Color Purple, which is very anti-family, because The Color Purple is all about, you know, men are the eternal abuser and they will rape you, they will steal your baby, and then they will sell your baby to white people. This is the movie. And therefore, you have to flee from the evil black men and be a strong, independent black woman. This is a movie produced and distributed in 1993. Can you imagine a SJW movie of that kind? Back in 1993, these people were ahead of their time, okay? So that's Whoopi Goldberg. That's her story. And so in her interview and her apology, what you realize is that Whoopi Goldberg cannot conceive of the Holocaust as being racial because to her it was white versus white. And to her, the issue of race is the issue of whiteness versus blackness. And, you know, you can't blame her that much because in the end, the left is holding this cognitively inconsistent structure in their head that somehow races don't exist, that Jews are not a separate race, and yet that the Holocaust was a racial thing. These three beliefs are inconsistent. Either the Holocaust was a racial thing and races exist and Jews are a separate race in the sense that they breed. They are a genetic nuclei that is distinguished from other Europeans. Or you deny that race exists, and then the Holocaust becomes just a war between people who look alike. And this is what Whoopi Goldberg was trying to bring the attention to. It's this, like, she was essentially trying to genuinely come to an understanding of this incoherent leftist belief system. And at the same time, she was doing what she has always been doing, which is essentially add a black perspective, a black woman perspective, to the left's pillars. Because if you look at The Color Purple in 1993, it's a black woman's perspective to feminism. It's a black woman's perspective to the destruction of the family that Hollywood wanted so hard. And what she's been doing yesterday in this whole series of statements and then apologies and then re-apology is that she's been giving a black perspective to a question that is a fundamental emotional pillar for the left. And the left is still trying to cancel her, still trying to go after her, and so they had no other choice but to suspend her for 2 weeks. Because more and more the people who want to sanctify the Holocaust as the summum of all suffering, the one the degree of suffering that cannot be beaten by anything else, they are moving toward the idea that any sort of questioning of the statement Germans have undertook the Holocaust against the Jews for the purpose of racial hate, that any sort of derivation from this is Holocaust denial. We've seen it a couple of days ago where I covered this news. And it's fascinating that this happens just a few days after, you know, certain groups have changed their definition of Holocaust denial and certain legislations have been rewritten around the idea that Holocaust denial includes any sort of questioning of the agents at play. The questioning that it was the German government, the questioning that it was ordered by Hitler, the questioning that it was Hitler against the Jews doing this, and the questioning of the ultimate racial meaning of all this. So Whoopi Goldberg got caught by this kind of definition update, which constantly tightens what you can and cannot question in history. I don't get into that kind of discussion often, but I think she tried and she failed. Hello, Mama JF, what's up?
Hey, also, if she thinks that violence is just interracial, didn't she see in her movie that it was black on black?
Yes, very, very interesting observation. One of the fascinating things with The Color Purple, I highly recommend you guys watch this movie. It's fascinating to see the embryonic feminist discourse in there. But yeah, one of the fascinating thing, and to a certain extent almost based, it's that in this movie, it is black men doing evil things to black women.
Yes, even like slavery, the man was selling her children.
Yes, so it was the man selling the baby and taking the baby and selling the children. Yeah, it's... And the movie allows you to get out of this discomfort at the end by introducing the white female character who's like totally stupid, and she's getting her slave from who happens to be Whoopi Goldberg. No, it's not Whoopi Goldberg. It's the other girl, the other great actress who's taken in that movie. She takes her from prison. And it becomes kind of her servant. they become kind of a servant-slave-master relationship. And so the ultimate moral of the movie, Oprah Winfrey, that's her name. So she takes Oprah Winfrey from the jail, who is actually in jail because of an act of aggression against her. And eventually she becomes her servant. So the whole thing allows you to say, okay, this is black people being evil against each other, but because of the system of abuse of whites, because the whites are out there pulling the strings. But the movie leaves only a small out of that kind. The movie's general message is much more, you know, putting much less guilt toward the whites than a modern movie would. That's what's fascinating about The Color Purple. And that's why you should watch this movie. Anyways, good luck to what's her name? Whoopi Goldberg. She was good in you know, the movie where she sings as a nun. In French, we call that movie Rockin' Nun. But I know it's a different title in English. So I wish her luck, and I want her back on The View. I generally think 99% of what she says is stupid. Sister Act. That is the title of the movie. but I don't want her out, because although I disagree with everything she says, I think she showed a genuine willingness to engage with the truth. And I think she's revealing a little bit of that honesty in her apology on the Jimmy Fallon show. Because she says, I thought that the Holocaust was whites between whites, so I didn't perceive it as a racial matter. But if you say so, I will stop saying it. I will take your word on it and I will stop saying it. So what is Whoopi Goldberg revealing here when she says that? She's saying, all right, I tried to do my own thinking, and you're telling me that you're going to cancel me? I'm just going to say whatever you want to hear. That's very interesting, because that's her revealing, all right, you want me to play a game? I'll play a game. I think we've accessed some honesty there in Whoopi Goldberg at the moment she said that, which reveals that she's not that much in line with the crew, the mobs getting against her, and that she may dream of a world in which we can reflect our own thoughts and think our own things and be different. But she won't, because she said, I will do as you please. In a way, this is so ironic in light of The Color Purple, because the whole story of her position in the movie The Color Purple is to put her as, oh yes, sir, yes, I will do whatever you want. Oh yes, I will shave your beard. And it's you develop a kind of pity toward the state of slavery that she's been turned into by her black husband. But Whoopi Goldberg is in 2022. Being exactly the same slave that she was in The Color Purple. Being exactly the same slave that was dragging your pity in 1993 in The Color Purple. And I think she's signaling this to us. There's a it piece against Gab on MSNBC. People are going after MSNBC, Media Matters. People are going after Gab, Media Matters, and MSNBC. They are going after Republican candidates who are spending time on Gab and Paul Gosar for having had public exposure alongside Nick Fuentes. I don't think it's a super important. Phenomenon, event of any kind. Jets scrambled to intercept Russian bombers approaching the UK, but apparently this was a routine thing that happens very often. Russian bombers just taking a flight, going not in the territory of the UK, but just flying close to the limit. But in the context of the current nervousness around Ukraine and Russia, it has led to a lot more worries. Sonny Professor, it's a mistake to think that pedophilia is wrong. So this was a guy, a university ethicist of some kind or whatever, and he was talking about libertarian philosophy and applied ethics, and he was saying most people assume that sex is wrong with a 12-year-old, but I'm not sure. I think it's a mistake. And so people are getting alarmed at this, and I understand. But let's not forget that we must leave place to a genuine, principled-based questioning of these things. I wouldn't necessarily conclude that this guy is a pedo, okay? You can be discussing things within moral axioms for the purpose of intellectual understanding. I'm not interested at lowering the age of consent, okay? To be clear, I'm fine with teenagers not being able to consent to sex with an adult. But his point, I think, if I'm still meaning his point, I think what he's trying to say is there is some kind of a breach of the NAP when you keep a 12-year-old who would consent, who would want to have sex with someone older. You are essentially violating her NAP. And that's a point, by the way, that Owen Benjamin has been making for years. And you have to understand that it's not because you make this point that you want to have sex with the 12-year-old. This is what I would appeal people to understand. I don't know this guy. Maybe he's a secret pedo, okay? And if so, I totally hate this guy and disavow his behavior. But what he's trying to bring attention to, Owen Benjamin has been doing it for many years, and it's to highlight the apparent contradiction that stems from NAP considerations, as well as the tradition that we have in our society to consider it a criminal act to be having sex with a minor when you are an adult much older than the person. So let's not play cancel culture with this guy too much. That would be my take on this. Because I think he's trying to drag the attention of his students to a contradiction within libertarian thinking. I don't think he's talking about his own personal preferences. Hello, Mama JF. Are you up to date in your Owen Benjamin viewing?
Yes. No, what he says is that he's not having sex. He say, if you marry a 12-year-old and you stay with her all your life.
That's one thing that Owen Benjamin says. But another thing that he likes to say is, hey, libertarians, why is it not fair for an 8-year-old to consent to sex? And why is it not a violation of his NAP if I stop an 8-year-old from selling his own body in prostitution?
Maybe he's against that.
He's against this, but he's asking the libertarians, why is it not wrong? Why is it wrong? And that's essentially what this professor was asking too.
No, but I don't think he says you can do whatever you want.
No, certainly. I know that Owen Benjamin is not for doing whatever we want, but that's not what I've said.
He says you should be with the religious and with Jesus.
Yes.
And do wedding and all this.
I understand this.
But he doesn't agree if you say a 12-year-old just having sex with a random guy and after getting on her life, he doesn't agree with this.
I understand that he doesn't agree with this. Age Security says, have you seen Owen Benjamin's opinion on the truckers, JF? I think I may have overheard when Mama JF watches his episodes, but I mean, don't quote me on this, but if I remember what I've overheard, this would be a... Is he thinking it's a psyop or something? That it's a somehow not a valuable protest? I don't know. I don't know. He thinks that so many things are psyops that I may be confused. I may very well be confused. Putin says, U.S. trying to goad Russia into war as Ukraine ready for talks in any format. So I think Putin is having a proper evaluation of what's happening. The U.S. is heavily pushing for war with Ukraine and him. And I think he's being more intelligent than them. And finally, something that people on Discord wanted me to talk about, exposed Neil Young heavily linked to Big Pharma and Pfizer. So I don't know if I would title that much. I don't know if what has been identified is directly a link between Big Pharma and Pfizer and Neil Young. But what this article finds is that Neil Young has sold half of his album to a series of acquisition companies and half of his albums ended up being owned as a result by Blackstone. I was wondering if it was BlackRock or Blackstone. Blackstone, in a $1 billion deal. As the firm Hypnosis was merging with Blackstone, his entire album ended up being owned by Blackstone. And they point out that Pfizer former chairman and CEO Jeffrey B. Kindler has been appointed as the company's senior advisor of Blackstone. So you have an ex-worker of Pfizer is now owning the Neil Young album, and this article is claiming that this is some kind of link between Neil Young and the pharmaceutical industry. It's kind of indirect, so I don't know. What does that tell me? Like, is there really a conflict of interest here? Maybe there's something more, but just this mere connection to me doesn't necessarily show anything. As John Drake points out, Blackstone owns everything. This doesn't mean much. Yes, isn't it that the big company that owns like a significant part of the American GDP as a whole? So yes, you have to be careful when you draw links with them. It's going to be linked to everything. Will you watch the iDubbbz Sam Hyde documentary? 3 people say no, 2 people say yes, we will watch, and 1 person says yes, I've already watched it. Well, I watched it. I think it's worth listening to, but because Sam Hyde still transpires through this documentary, despite the lack of talent of iDubbbz, despite his incompetence, somehow the personality of Sam Hyde is big enough that it pops out. So in the end, it's not a terrible documentary, but it was a terrible interview. That is it for tonight, boys. We have an exciting couple of days coming. We'll be continuing the news coverage, of course, but most importantly, tomorrow we will have Andrew Wilson from The Crucible, the host of The Crucible, will be interviewed right here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to talk to him because he seems to be a fascinating guy who cares about the proper representation of IDs. And then Bill Gates will be on the show in 2 days on Friday. And in parallel to this, we will be covering news item. If you would like to support the show, join the Subscribestar, the Patreon, to support us on a monthly basis. The economic crisis is coming, so if you have any money now, it's time to donate because we're headed toward absolute crash. And I don't expect there will be much super chats during the depression era that's coming in the next year. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.